The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As a leader in health measures, just as the smoking ban did many, many years ago. And we need, as the Minister himself has said, the reality is that there are European measures that we need to measure ourselves by. And if we kept in step with Europe on the smoking ban, we would still not have a smoking ban. Minister, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 13 and a half years. And alcohol and its negative impacts have played a huge part in my life. And I say this and I share this because I think there is hardly a family in Ireland which doesn't have the same experience. So I once again ask, what is your department's position? I know very well that I can seek the answer from the Minister for Health about her position, but you've just told me that your department has corresponded with the Minister for Health on this. So what are you trying to say? This is not a new thing. It is a thing that has full consultation. It was introduced by the Taoiseach himself back in 2018, and it is wrong and unfair to dangle it as a response to tariffs when it won't even help those Irish companies because it doesn't have an impact on exports. Indeed, distributors are actually already putting the labelling on in anticipation of it. So all this would do is cause confusion if you were to roll it back.
So that was Social Democrats TD Sinead Gibney. And really, the reason we played that is it refers to one of our political correspondent Sean Defoe's star awards for the politicians as they head off on their holidays today. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
So what is the award that you're referring to in that clip from Sinead Gibney?
Well, so there's actually two tied into that one, Pat, for our second annual Dáil Star Awards, as we like to call them around here. One being the topic that she was talking about, and that is the alcohol labelling, which the government has now kicked out or is going to next week kick out to the end of the decade. And it's the Political Cowardice Award because this is really a total cop-out from the government. This labelling was meant to come in to highlight the cancer risks that alcohol can have, that clinicians are now saying even in moderation when you're drinking alcohol, it boosts your risk of developing cancer. And because of representations from the lobby industry, from the drinks industry, they've decided to postpone it out for 3 years.
We had a debate or a discussion on it yesterday, and I mean, it does raise questions about other things that might do you harm, like sugar in a candy and all that, chocolate, blah, blah, blah. So what do you not put a warning on?
Yeah, there is an element to that, but there is also just, I think alcohol in particular, I think is widely accepted in the medical community, is the biggest drug that's used in Ireland now. You know, we don't see it as a drug. We have our own history with it, and we're going to talk about that maybe a little bit later with some of the comments that are made diplomatically about Ireland at the minute. But to just cop out entirely when the risk is there, and a lot of people don't know the risk. Fine if you know it, and you know, we know there's other risks
it's
with alcohol,
though,
but the risk to cancer.
The labelling is not going to have a warning about, you know, do not drive while consuming alcohol. Do not use heavy machinery. Do not drive a tractor if you've had a drink. So, you know, there's a little bit of incompletion, shall we say.
There's a little bit there, I suppose, if you were to, perhaps enhances the point that if you were to put a label for every bad alcohol does to you on the label, you'd have nothing else on the label. There is no good that alcohol does when you're putting it into your body. But delaying that decision is part of the first award, the Political Cowardice Award. The second one, while we're talking about Sinead Gibney, Best Newcomer Award.
Okay.
And we obviously have a whole pile of new TDs who've come into this particular Dáil. There's quite a few who I think have been good. I actually think it's a good crop of new TDs after this election. Her party mate, Rory Hearn, has been impressive. Conor Sheehan in Labour. James Gagan, the Fine Gael TD, has been good as well. Others like Ken O'Flynn in Independent Ireland have all made a bit of a mark in a Dáil that's hard to have made a mark in because they haven't done a whole pile, to be frank about it. But I think Sinead Gibney has been the most impressive. She had a very impressive CV coming into the election, obviously. Has been very vocal in the Dáil. Used a bit of her personal story in clips like the one that we just played about the alcohol, but also quite a forensic questioner.
Okay.
To Rock.
What other star awards have you got? Most impressive party leader?
Most impressive party leader at the moment. It's hard to pick one of the bunch. I think actually the one who's probably possibly come away with the most credit is the one who isn't there in Holly Kearns, but I won't pick her.
But look at her party in the Irish Times poll today.
Has taken a dip of a point down to 6% support without her being there. I don't think any of the leaders have been particularly impressive, to be quite honest with you. I did have an award for the best minister, best performance of a minister, Jim O'Callaghan. I think the two standouts would be Jim O'Callaghan and the Health Minister, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. They've both been getting to grips with difficult briefs. I just think, and I was a little wary of Jim O'Callaghan coming in as minister. I thought if you turned down the junior ministry in the last government, why should you get to be senior minister? He obviously had buckets of experience and you can see that and you can feel it off him. He's been a very authoritative character, bringing forward new legislation. Not everyone agrees with the different bits of legislation, that's fine. But I think as a figure, he's been the most impressive.
Worst performing minister?
James Brown, the housing minister. And I think
is that because of the housing czar
Partially. There's also just been a bit of naivety in how he's handled the various... I still find it astonishing, Pat, that this government went through 5 years of trying to fix the housing crisis, then put together two separate manifestos, joined them into a programme for government, came out without a single new idea when it comes to housing. Changes to the rent pressure zones that aren't really going to protect renters. The housing completions are going backwards at the minute. Not all that is James Brown's fault. I want to put that out there. He's a new minister without a background in housing.
Yeah, but his latest initiative, which is effectively... producing the slums of tomorrow.
The tiny little apartment sizes,
one aspect only, dark apartments, no balconies. So if we have another COVID, where are people to go? Are they going to knock their heads against the wall and go crazy, stir crazy, because they have no balcony to sit out on? And no play areas and all this sort of stuff.
It does seem to be a retrograde step. The line that always caught me on that was Paul Murphy saying that the size is the size of three average car parking spaces. And that's your entire living space.
But don't forget they have student accommodation that's the size of one disabled car parking space.
I lived in one, you know, and we have for a while. And that's the argument the government's making, that this is fine for a certain time in your life. But also, you know, young people who you might buy that when you're single, you're a young new professional, fine. But you're not able to move out of it after that. There's nowhere to move on to. So James Brown, I don't think has been particularly impressive. I'm reserving somewhat judgment given he's new to the brief, but I don't have
a party leader under most pressure.
Mary Lou McDonald. Is that
because of a poll today?
No, not. I've done this before.
Because,
if
you're talking
today,
about you're under pressure and then you're talking about maybe being president.
Well, this is why I picked it. Because Sinn Féin are down 4% in the poll today. That's a whole other thing. Simon Harris is the other name that came up when I spoke to people around Leinster House. But she has not ruled herself out of the presidency. I don't know if she will go for it. I think it's a very risky strategy if she does, because if she loses, she's a total lame dunk. She could win it. I think she'd have a very good chance of winning it. But I picked her because I don't know where Sinn Féin go next. I think her chances of winning the presidency are probably now higher than the chances of her being Taoiseach, because there is no clear path over the next 5 years for them to be the lead party.
What's
in
your analysis of Sinn Féin's failure to capitalise on the discomfiture of this government?
It's interesting because the government has sort of stood pat in this particular poll. I think Fine Gael is up slightly based on a very low result last time around in April, and Fianna Fáil is exactly where it was. Sinn Féin down quite a bit. So that dissatisfaction with the government, they have not been able to capitalise on it. It seems to be going more towards independents, and independents who have maybe a stronger voice, or even into the undecideds, which is up as well. So it's interesting that they failed to catch total fire in the general election, albeit doing better than we thought that they might initially. They're still the second largest party in the state. But I think Sinn Féin again have hit a ceiling. A bit like the growing pains that we're talking about in the housing delivery figures. They had a great jump in 2020. They've now sort of hit a plateau, and there is no clear path. They don't seem to be able to coalesce opposition support around themselves, and the dissatisfaction with the government now sees them as an establishment party and is going elsewhere.
All right. Any other star awards you want to mention?
So she was on the political hot seat. Comeback of the year, Alan Kelly. Someone who, as Labour leader a few years ago, we thought was on the outs. He obviously was kicked out as Labour leader. We thought maybe he won't run again. He's now back. He's the chairman of an Oireachtas committee. He's swanning around the place, delighted with himself, holding people to account again. He's absolutely back. The pressure cooker award we gave to James Brown. Chancellor of the year, you'd have to give to Michael Lowry, who has gone very quiet and gotten very little attention the last while, having been a member of the government. And then finally, Storm in a Teacup award. So this is the political controversy that drew all sorts of oxygen for ages and rage and rage and rage, and everyone has forgotten about. Care to guess?
I remember it well, and we delayed the formation of the committees and all the rest. The speaking row.
Speaking row, which no one has talked about for months since it was resolved, even though it was like TDs were apoplectic in the Dáil for months about this. And actually the changes they brought in have done very little for the Dáil agenda. No one really notices anymore.
Now, we do want to briefly look at the Irish Times poll. Fianna Fáil at 22%, even Stephen, no up, no down. Fine Gael at 17%, up 1. Sinn Féin down 4 at 22, still level with Fianna Fáil or thereabouts, but down 4. Social Democrats down 1 at 6%. Labour Party down 1 at 4%. Aonthu up 1 at 2%. Green Party, even Stephen, at 3%. People Before Profit Solidarity at 2%, they're down 1. But there's a general theme when you look at that, is the left is down.
The left is down and independents are up. And it's basically down 4 for Sinn Féin, up 5 for independents. And this is the swing we saw at the start of last year as well. It's just interesting how these things swing outside of electoral cycles and then change entirely when people have to make up their vote going in to the ballot. So moving away from the left, I mean, you wonder again, people are talking about a united candidate of the left for the presidency. Is there enough of a vote or a groundswell behind them? I don't know. Where you maybe think Catherine Connolly has a good chance now with the independent vote up as well. So it is interesting going into the autumn, and it poses interesting questions for the likes of Sinn Féin, the likes of Labour in particular. What did they do now as they tried to pick a pony?
I mean, it's extraordinary that, you know, where's the charisma in the presidential race? You know, you're looking for someone to seize the day and...
But that's why I think Mary Lou McDonald would have a good chance, because she is a very charismatic person and is someone who would pull votes in areas that would never vote for Sinn Féin as a party, but would vote for her. Like Catherine Connolly, would you call her massively charismatic? Probably not. She is a very soft-spoken person. Indeed, people who were at the press conference yesterday when she launched, if you were at the back, you couldn't hear her. She's so softly spoken and has something about her, but she's not like a Bertie Ahern figure, to throw out a name of somebody who's like that. And I don't think Mairead McGuinness is either, so... I just wonder, is there someone left to come, Pat, that we haven't discussed who'll be that charismatic figure and just sweep
Undoubtedly there will, but if it's not from the mainstream political parties, they have to get a nomination, which is a bit of a challenge. Finally, I want to ask you about the US ambassador to Israel calling for the Irish to apologise to Israel.
To apologise to Israel.
This guy is crackers, by the way. He's as crackers as Trump. He believes in the end of days and all that, and Israel's, you know, the apocalyptic home for Israel at the end of days. That's where he's coming from.
That's where he's coming from. Former governor of Arkansas, former presidential candidate himself, back tried to get a nomination to run in 2008. And he's basically said that the Irish government and the Irish Parliament is drunk, that have we fallen into a vat of Guinness, I think is what he said, and that Ireland needs to sober up. This is the same guy, by the way, who said that there's no such thing as a Palestinian, that Palestinian people don't exist, let alone a state of Palestine, and that all of the history of the region is actually Israel, even though Israel was obviously only formed in the wake of World War II. So he's come out pretty strongly. I thought even in the fact that in the tweet he said this will be bad for Israelis and bad for Arabs. Didn't say Palestinians, he said specifically Arabs, which is a very loaded term in the US political lexicon as well. Micheál Martin understandably criticising him and others. But it does speak to a worry, and I think Ciara Kelly got onto this on Breakfast, that we are annoying people in the United States with the Occupied Territories Bill. People who do have significant influence over the government and significant influence over business in the US. So while morally this might be the right thing to do, he's not the only one who thinks like this, crackers as he may be.
All right, Sean Defoe, thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.